dash.
Welcome to your community radio station. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Welcome to the 257th edition of Money Matters, entitled Fall Strategies. Thanks for joining me today. It's really a pleasure to be here on the microphone. Before we begin, please remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed today are my opinions only, or the opinions of the people of my interview or the articles I may read. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, the station, its staff members, or underwriters. Money Matters is about money, as money does matter, and matters of money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, and some way or another, controls the very way we all live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and livelihood. In short, it's about you. Okay. Got that out of the way. How is everybody today? Your community radio stations disseminating great music and alternative news and information and mainstream news and information at times for your listening pleasure. Always consider going to the website of your community radio station to see how you can support, help, volunteer, underwrite, listening to the great program schedules, see your favorite personalities, all on the website of your community radio station. So here we is. It was a heck of a hurricane. Apparently, a Category 4 slammed into Texas. Now, a Category 5 is coming into Florida. Holy macroeconomic ramifications from that. I'll touch on that a little bit if I have some time. Dow, 21,763 as we sit Thursday, December 7th, 12:13 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, down 43. And as we begin every show, remember that these large numbers, there are many, many indexes, S&P 500, Dow 30, NASDAQ, others, Russell. But the mainstream media likes to cover the Dow, and so we're at 21,763. And we've always mentioned that there are a lot of support and resistance levels. Support levels are below whatever number we're at, and resistance levels are above. So at 21,763, a big resistance number, there's a lot of them, but according to technicians who follow this, big resistance numbers are the large numbers. So at 21,763, 22,000 would be a resistance level. And of course, if we're at 21,764, 21,000 below us would be a support level. So as we indicated probably about 7 weeks ago or so, and it was approved for me to say this, we keep saying it, we were We were market neutral to market negative from June 2015 to November 9th, 2016. Will that name, will that date conjure up any memories? Well, the day before is November 8th, election day. And so November 9th, when the market started to scream upwards, we went market positive November 9th and stayed that way until about 6 weeks ago, in which case when we broadcasted, we went market neutral to market negative. When I go market positive, it means I expect the market to rise and position so forth and so on for that. And when I go market neutral to market negative, I position to be flat or for the market to fall. No one can predict market movements at any time, of course. And the disclaimer, past movements does not guarantee future performance. But, yeah, of course, I can have an opinion and I can position portfolios as I expect. So about 6 weeks, 8 weeks ago, we went market negative to market neutral, which kind of gives you an indication of what I think the market's going to do. And, you know, it's bounced around and, you know, kind of hasn't gone anywhere, kind of. You know, things look forward to, I guess, you know, Apple's room to come out with the Apple Phone 8. That's coming up. And all sorts of crazy things. I'm reading here today's charts from financeyahoo.com. Headline, GoPro shares surge and Fitbit jumps on new partnership. That might be interesting to cover if we have some time. So there you go. There you go. We get this big hurricane coming, Category 5. I think that's as big as it can go, isn't it? Pretty substantial there for sure. That's going to be a winger. And we have to people down there. Man, just crazy storms coming in. Global warming. What do you think? And, of course, the continuing saga of what's going up in Washington with North Korea apparently doing another underground test of a hydrogen weapon. Trump going back and forth. And, may you live in interesting times, right? May you live in interesting times. And I write usually a bunch of one-liners. And my one-liner for the week is, you have a lot to look forward to, in fact. Everything to look forward to and very little to look back on because the past is gone, right? Don't know why I came up with that. I was just came out. So I wrote it down in my one-liners. And there you go. Website for Money Matters, moneymanagementradio.com. That is a Agrata website. It's our way of the community radio station. Our radio station, saying thank you for listening to the community radio station, moneymanagementradio.com. No spam, nothing costs. Everything is a gratis, just market commentary and past shows. Okay, so fall strategies. Yeah, everybody asks me, is it going to crash? Is it going to go up? Is it going to crash? Is it going to fall? You know, one of the indicators that I used to go market negative to market neutral 6 weeks ago was the fact that falls sometimes are the season of market routes. Sometimes. Nothing is for sure, as you know. And so that, with a whole lot of other indicators that I saw, made me change position. And so far, was that a right decision? I don't know. It kind of looks like it's kind of flat, really. So we'll see. I mean, keep it in mind and see what happens the next week, month, 2 months. And then, of course, the January effect will take place. The January effect will be expected to take place, may not. These things are never set in stone, so we'll see about that. And we'll talk about that as we approach in January. And so fall strategies. What are fall strategies? Well, fall strategies, if you're one that believes that the fall is time for falls, or you're one that believes that the fall is time for rises, there is one rule that I myself have in the opinion is a very important rule, and I live by it when managing money, and that is don't lose money. Warren Buffett said it. Rule number one, don't lose money. Because if your goal is get to the top of the hill of retirement, and as you climb up, you can just visualize it as an increase in your balances as you climb up the hill, it's okay to stop for a while. It's okay to stop for a while and then resume climbing But to go back down the hill, that's makes you do double work, right? Go back down the hill, which is in investing, it would be calling losing money. So out of the three things that could happen if you're trying to get to the top of the hill, the best thing is climb and increase your altitude. The second best thing would be to stay still. The worst thing would be to go backwards. So my number one opinion of the most important aspect, in my opinion, apparently in Warren Buffett, is don't go backwards. Don't lose money. You know, making money, in my opinion, is secondary to not going backwards. And I structure things like that because, you know, I see some portfolios, they're up 20% and then they're down 20%. Well, you don't know if it's going to stay up 20% and you don't know whether it's going to stay down 20%. So that's the way I structure things. So there are a variety of strategies, many, many strategies. Everybody's got a different idea, like opinions, right? Everybody's got one. Many of these strategies do entail just buying a bunch of stocks or an index fund. Some strategies, other strategies, that buy a bunch of stocks or funds or whatever, they just wait for the market to go up. So the market's got to go up for you to make money, right? Market goes down, you lose money. Market's flat, you don't make anything. Markets go up, you make money. That's just one of many, many strategies. Some investors want retirement safety, while others are in there for the explosive growth. Usually men are more aggressive. Not always, but I've seen some pretty aggressive women as far as their financial situation is concerned. But some investors do want retirement safety. Some people tell me, I don't want to lose money. I don't want to lose money. Almost everybody tells me, I don't want to lose money, but I want to earn more than a bank account. That's the holy grail, right? And so some want retirement safety. Some want explosive growth. And some want structured and dependable income. So there are really, you know, four goals that people have. One, don't lose it. And some people invest that way by putting the money in a bank. Don't lose it. My investment strategy is to save and don't lose it. Well, they've remembered rule number one, haven't they? Two, some investors want explosive growth. Those are usually the young kids. I want to make billions. Explosive growth. Usually they're younger investors. Some investors want a safety with the possibility of growth. That's a popular one. I'd like to grow some more than a savings account, but I don't want to gamble too much. And others just say, I want income. I just want income. I'm retired, I'm on Social Security, or I'm not working, I want income. So those are all four different investment strategies, and they can be structured combination of the five, or the four, or the three, or the two, or just go one way. This structured and dependable income, although this may be accomplished through what they call an income annuity, you give insurance companies some money and then you wait a while and the money marinates with them. And then when you pull the trigger, they promise to pay you for the rest of your life or they promise to pay you for a certain period of time. There's many, many, many variations of that. We call that an income annuity. And they can do the trick. They can, you know, they definitely will pay you if the insurance company stays solvent. But some investors shun annuities because of the possible time commitment. You got to leave your money into the marinade. Now, some annuities will pay you immediately. You know, you put your money in and they'll start paying you immediately. But as a general rule, the longer you let the insurance company have your money, the more they will pay you later. So the longer you wait, the more money they will pay you. But some investors don't like annuities because it's a time commitment in many annuities. You got to stay in it. Or you might face early withdrawal fees. Or money might not marinate long enough to be able to really give you some significant income. And many of these products have early withdrawal penalties. If you need the money for a particular reason, emergency situation, there's a withdrawal penalty if you take it out too early. There are, however, other ways to accomplish the need for income. Okay, today's discussion is about income. One such strategy is what I call, if you Google this up, you won't see it, but it's what I call the stock rental income strategy. Stock rental income strategy. It's a strategy that we use. And the portfolio is structured kind of like this. We structure it and we hold about 20 or so large stocks that are scheduled to pay dividends. Now, dividends can be pulled, reduced, are increased at the will of the board of directors. Dividends, as most of you may know, are payments by companies to shareholders. You buy a share of stock, and the company's promises, at least when you buy it, not really promises, but say that they will pay you a dividend. We will give you, you buy a share, we'll give you a dollar every quarter. Now, that can be changed. So it's really not a promise. It's a statement. We'll give you a dollar. Everybody realizes they can change that. But they'll say when you buy it today, the news posting says we plan to give you a dollar on a certain day. Some distributions, some payments, however you want to call it, dividends, interest, distributions, are monthly. And most common is quarterly. And some pay once a year. Usually the end of the year, called distributions. So dividends are payments by companies to the shareholders of that company. Now, this rental stock rental income portfolio, the way I structure it, is these companies are not just any companies, but they are the largest of the large, with an emphasis not only on size. I don't look at just the biggest companies. We look at the dividend history. How long have they paid dividends? Have they cut a dividend? Have they continued to increase the dividend? What have they done? The financial strength of the company. Is it a strong company? Does it make a profit? What products or services do they have, and other factors? Companies that have been around a long time, sell products that many people use and you might be familiar with, and with a long history of rewarding shareholders through payments of dividends, are then placed in this portfolio. And they are also reviewed for financial strength and the strength of the product. So there's a lot of varying things that I look at. Now, once selected, the aim is to hold these stocks as a basket. So let's say we buy 20 pre-screened companies. Look all good, all large, good dividend paying history, looks like a good financial health, it looks like they've got a good product, run fairly well. I pick very, very large companies first, and then I go down the list. So you hold a basket, and with each paying dividends, which would yield a variety of checks throughout the year. Now, if you bought all 20 stocks that paid every quarter, then they don't pay at the same date. You know, each company might pay around the same time, but 20 companies would pay whatever date they decide to pay every quarter. So with 20 companies, if they're giving you quarterly distributions, quarterly dividend payments, however you want to call them, you would get 80 checks a year. So 80 into 360 is what? Every 4.5 days, you would get a check. Now, that doesn't mean every 4.5 days you will get a check, but if you average out 80 checks into 365 days, then that's how many checks would float in. Now, if all the companies continue to pay their dividends, if they continue to pay, a steady stream of checks is hoped for, right? 20 companies paying quarterly is 80 checks floating in various times throughout the 365 days, except for when the mail doesn't come. Now, these dividends can be put into a unit, put into your account, or you can get the dividends, you know, mailed to you. I think they still do that. Or you can plow the dividends back into the securities, back into the stocks, so you buy more shares. Some people might want to build an income portfolio, but they don't want the income right away. So there you go. Now, unlike an income annuity, some annuities will pay you income right away. A lot of income annuities expect you to let the money marinate for a while. So let's say you give them 100 grand in an income annuity and they say, wait 10 years. And when the 10 years are up, we'll pay you this month every year for the rest of your life. But when you die, if they've paid you more than you put in, plus whatever it might have earned, then the money's gone and that's it. Okay? So you wait and then they pay you out and you may or may not get some money back. Because it's not life insurance, remember, it's just an income annuity. They're all structured different ways, so definitely you know what you're buying before you even consider one of these things. However, with the stock rental portfolio is what I've called it, stock rental portfolio, stock rental income strategy is what I call it. soon as you buy the companies, the checks will start coming in. I mean, as soon as you buy them, you get dividends. So you immediately get income if they pay their dividends. You immediately get income, unlike many of these annuities, which wait a while. Now, if you didn't want to take the checks, you didn't have to, you can plow them back into the securities, but you could if you wanted. So you immediately start getting checks. And then if it ran the rest of your life and they kept paying and you kept getting checks when you died, then the money, whatever the value of the stocks are when you die, goes into your estate. So unlike an income annuity that may use up all the money and then you don't get anything back, use up the money plus its earnings. When you sell the stock, whatever the stocks are worth, you get that back. So your income is immediate and hopefully you'll get some money back unless all the stocks go to zero, which is why I pick the largest companies. Can Coca-Cola go to zero? Well, I'll let you answer that question. So if all the companies continue to pay their dividends, a steady stream of checks is expected. The work for the client, you, and the advisor, me, does not stop there, however. What happens is the advisor sits down with the client and discusses how the portfolio should be viewed. Okay? In other words, here's a portfolio that you bought, and here's how much you spent. Let's talk about what this is. The review of what we're going to do is how the name Stock Rental Portfolio came about and why I named it such. The idea of this portfolio sprouted from discussions with many investors who had rental properties. I mean, a lot of investors that have rental properties. And an idea of a portion of basket of stocks that I hold said, oh, wow, I already kind of do this with a portion. So when I meet a client who has a rental property, when I ask him what they like about owning rental property, what do you think they answer? I have a rental property. You do? That's interesting. What do you like about it? The rent checks. The rent checks come in. Oh, that's good. So let me ask you a question, Mr. Investor. If the real estate market dropped and your house that was paying you a rental dropped in value some, do you care? The response usually is, not always, usually is, not if I get the rent checks. So I would say, let me get this right. The house rises in value because you love that. House remains the same or falls in value. Do you like that? And if you do, is it the rental checks that you get? Okay? Since when asked, I like the rent checks, and if the house varies in value, I don't mind. Not everybody would say that, but some say that. Since this mindset of, I don't care if the rental property goes up or down as long as I get the checks, it gives the rental property owner some sort of peace of mind. Yeah, it goes up and down. As long as I get my rent checks, I'm fine. So I thought, if a portfolio could be constructed and viewed by the client in a similar fashion, which is furnishing dependable income checks every so often, like rental property, and the investor could adopt the same mindset with this portfolio, which is not minding a possible reduction in overall value if the asset had been sold or will be sold. As long as the checks arrived, the client would be happy, like a rental property. So I thought, I've already done this, but I didn't really actually have a name. And it came about by an interesting gentleman that came in. He called me and he said, I want to talk about money. I said, okay, we'll meet at a restaurant. He came down and he looked kind of like, you know, not dressed in Eddie Bauer. He was dressed very modestly. I sat him down and I said, well, what can I do for you? What's your situation? He says, well, I live in a mobile home and I get Social Security of $1,400 a month. I said, okay. Anything else? No. I said, okay. Well, you're obviously on the lower end of the income scale. He says, yes, I am. Barely making it. I said, okay, so why can I help you? He said, well, I inherited $115,000. I went, oh. And I want to know what to do with it. So I said, well, first thing, don't lose it. Right? Rule one, don't lose it. Second, congratulations. With 100 grand, you're probably in the top 30, 35% of the nation is in wealth. So this guy went from making 1,200 or 1,400 or whatever he was making on Social Security to, you know, top 30 or 40% of the wealth of the nation with 150,000. It blew his mind when I told him that. So I said, well, I could invest it. What do you want for it? I mean, what are you looking for? He says, I want income. I said, oh, okay. He says, and I want to buy an investment property, a rental. I said, okay. And the reason? I want rent checks, income. I said, okay. He says, what do you think about that? So my opinion was, I said, well, if you buy a rental property, first of all, you're going to pay a commission going out of it when you sell it. Second of all, it won't be liquid in case you need it, at least as liquid it would be if it was sitting in something else. Hard to sell a house. Takes a while. Third, you're going to have maintenance, taxes, which will eat in some of the rent. And fourth, if the property goes vacant, you could be in real trouble. So he agreed. And then I said, you know, I could provide you with an income annuity, but you got to let the money marinate a while to get it checks that are really worth anything, in my opinion, depending on how much you put in. But he goes, no, I need the income now. I said, okay, how about this? And I laid out the stock rental income portfolio. Buy you 20 of the largest companies. Some companies have paid dividends for decades. Some companies have cut dividends. Some companies have increased dividends. Some companies have increased dividends through the crisis, okay? And I buy 20 of the largest ones. And I look for dividend history. Did they continue to pay? Have they continued to pay for a long time, 20, 30, 40 years more? Did they increase dividends? And do they do that regularly? All those are considered. So I said, this is what I can do. We can buy you 20. And if everything goes as stated in today's condition, you will receive 20 checks 4 times a year, 20 companies paying quarterly dividends, 80 checks a year. With the caveat, again, that dividends can be cut. And I'll read a whole disclaimer at the end. Okay, but dividends can be cut, decreased, or increased at any time. So we look for these big companies. And I said, you get 80 checks a year if they continue to pay. I said, okay. I said, but you have to make me a promise. What's the promise? Here's the promise. If the balance drops in the portfolio, don't call me. Why? Because you said, or people say, they don't mind if rental properties drop in value as long as you get your checks. So if you get your 80 checks a year, or the balance of 115 grand goes to 60 or 90, or 180, or 300, whatever it goes to, don't call me. If a stock pays us a dividend, I'll sell it, because we're in it for the checks. It's like a renter that doesn't pay me rent. So the advantages would be, if you get into trouble, you can sell a portion. You may sell it at a loss if the market is down, but you can still sell it. Like a house, you might sell it at a loss, but it might take you longer to sell a house than it would a stock, which you can usually sell pretty quick. Within the time that I said that sentence, a lot of stocks can be sold. If you pass, the stocks can be liquidated to your heirs, and you will get paid immediately, and as long as all the stocks keep paying, you will keep receiving your checks. If the companies increase the dividends, your checks will increase in size. If the market goes up, then the stocks will follow the principle of general market risk and may rise, increasing the 115,000 to whatever. To find out whatever it might go to, I will leave it to you to look at the chart of the Dow over time. So versus an income annuity, I laid the situation out. So the whole mindset here is some people don't want to see a decreasing balance. They just can't stomach it. I don't want to see a decreasing balance. You're getting your checks, but I don't want to see a decreasing balance. Well, I could say throw the statements away and just count the checks. But, you know, that's really the discussion that you're going to have with the client. The mindset of if I get the checks can give the owner of the basket of portfolios some sort of peace of mind, which would be constructed in a similar fashion as a rental, furnishing dependable income checks every so often. And instead of a monthly rent check, if you have 20 companies and they all pay their quarterly dividends, you'll get 80 checks. Can you adopt the mindset that you don't mind if the balance moves? Because if you own rental property, do you freak out if it drops 5%? So it's an interesting solution, possible solution to people that need income and that may need income right away. Now, if you don't need income right away, you can do a dividend reinvestment program called a DRIP, where the dividend checks will go back to the company and they'll buy you more stock. There are many facets in setting up the rental stock portfolio or a similar situation. And the strategy may be an option for those looking for income, yet won't worry so much about a moving balance like a rental house. As with any portfolio based in the markets, there are risks, of course, and they are as follows. As I said, dividends are not guaranteed and they can be decreased or eliminated entirely. Decreased, increased, or eliminated. Now the hope is that they increase them every so often. That's the hope and the wish, but none of that's guaranteed. Dividends do not guarantee against losses. So you could have stocks that pay dividends and still lose money. If you sell the stocks and the stocks are lower, you could lose money. Dividends may be taxable in certain types of accounts, right? Could be taxed on the dividends you get. In certain types of accounts, dividends aren't taxable, like an IRA. There are exceptions to that. Master limited partnerships, some other things. But for the most part, if anything that goes in an IRA isn't taxable until you take it out as income, right? And stocks which pay dividends, as I say, do not mean losses, either partial or total, are eliminated. See? Doesn't mean that. Because I guess if you hold 20 stocks and they all go to zero, I guess you could lose the whole thing. So I would ask again, can Coca-Cola go to zero? Can McDonald's go to zero? Can Johnson & Johnson, it's a family company, go to zero? That I will leave to your imagination. As always, review the prospectus of any company you are considering and consult with your investment professional before making investment decisions. Investing involves risk. You can lose money, and this, of course, is not a solicitation to buy, hold, or sell any security. You are listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. I hope that's given you a couple ideas. We will be right back with some more. Tune to Money Matters on your community radio station. Thanks for joining me. My name's Mark Cunaberti. I've been hosting the show since 2005. and financial columnist. I got a degree in economics, 1979, and I've been doing money pretty much my whole life. So there you go. And so I want to talk about the number one rule, losing money, okay? Not to is the number one rule. Don't, or try to minimize as much as possible. Losses and a negative balance. I put in 100, I got 99. Losses and negative balances, when they occur, is one of the negative aspects of investing, right? They're unwelcome. Who likes it? But losses can be educational in many ways. They can actually tell us, and sometimes when I see a portfolio with losses, and I see the percentage of loss, and how they occurred, and how fast they occurred, and when they occurred, can tell a person a lot about what kind of strategies are being used and whether they are appropriate for a particular investor situation, right? One strategy that loses money may be okay for one investor, although he doesn't want to lose money. And another strategy might be, oh, no, that's not appropriate for what you told me you wanted. Again, we go down to Warren Buffett. Number one rule. Never lose money. Number two, don't forget rule number one. Investors, according to Warren Buffett and myself, in my opinion, would be to heed such advice. Limiting losses when the market moves against you is more important, in my opinion, than how much you make in up markets. Let me repeat that. Limiting losses when the market moves against you is more important than how much you make in up markets. When I or when you are looking at the percentage amount of your losses in down markets, that may indicate how much risk your portfolio contains. And on the flip side, how much you make in up markets can also tell us the same thing. How much you lose and how much you make can be an indicator of how much risk is in the portfolio. In other words, guy puts in 100 grand and he waits 10 years and he walks out with 100 grand. It never moved off that balance. How much risk was in it? Well, there may have been risk in it, but it performed like zero risk. It never went anywhere. Now, suppose an investor, he sees a general market increase of 50%. The overall market's increased 50%. And his portfolio moves up by the same amount. Portfolio moves up 50%. Or maybe it moves up more. Okay. The investor obviously is thrilled and perceives the strategy a sound one. I'm a genius, or my advisor is a genius. Market's up 50%, I made 50%. Brilliant. Okay. Standing back and analyzing that result with more thought, however, could yield a different opinion, and it does to me. If the portfolio rises in lockstep with the market, is it possible it could also fall in lockstep with the market? In our example, a 50% gain may feel great, but if the market falls 50%, would a 50% loss in your portfolio, if it occurred, feel as good? Likely not. You lost half? That's a question. Most investors I know would have a lot of indigestion for such a setback. A 50% loss is a huge hole to dig out of. Because the math says if you lose 50%, right, to recover, to break even, then whatever you hold would have to double. To recover from a 50% loss, the portfolio at that level would have to double just to break even. Some investors might think, well, if the market falls 50%, I can only have to regain 50%. No, the math says if it falls by half, you have to, the half has to double again, right? If the market is $10 and it falls to $5, to get back to $10, five has to double, right? That's the math. If it only went up 50%, you'd still have a 25% loss. A portfolio that moves up in lockstep with the market may mean you're overexposed for your level of comfort should the market move against you. Gains are great. They get you high. But losses, oh, they are brutal on your psyche. They kill you. Ulcers, can't sleep, cause a divorce. You and I have losses. I mean, you may get high from making money in the market, but you get a bad loss, man, they can kill you. A more conservative approach, more conservative, may mean you make less in up markets, but you may not be subject to violating rule number one as badly. Rule number one is, class, don't lose money. Right. Think back to the markets of 2009. Many investors took losses in the double digits, and many lost significant amounts. And some probably haven't recovered. It would be false for me to say everybody that lost money in the crisis has made it back. That's a false statement. So I can honestly tell you that a true state would be not every investor that lost significant amounts has broken even yet. Had the losses during the crisis been limited to single digits, recovery is quicker and a lot less stressful. If you only lost 2% during the crisis, you only got a gain. The same dollar amount back, and if your portfolio drops 2%, how much is that going to stress you out, right? If you are seeing huge profits in your portfolio in up markets, if you are seeing huge profits in your portfolio in up markets and you open up your statement, you're going, oh, it's great. That may indicate a level of exposure you may not be comfortable if the markets move against you. Generally speaking, a more conservative approach will mean you won't make as much when markets run. You're not going to make as much. But it also means you won't lose as much if markets fall. Portfolios that don't move much may not seem as exciting. They might not jack you up with adrenaline. Well, they may not be as rewarding as your neighbor that's bragging at the guest dinner table that he made all this money. I made 30%. What'd you make, Bob? 4. But it may mean you sleep a lot better than he will if the tides of markets rush out unexpectedly. Have dinner with him during a horrendous crash, and he won't say how much he lost. But then you could say, you know, I lost 3%, or whatever the number would be. Portfolios that grow slowly over time but keep losses at a minimum when they inevitably occur could help to keep rule number one at bay. Heavy concentrations in stocks to garner fast gains may be enticing, but there was a reason the proverbial hare beat the tortoise. Slow and steady may be the order of the day when it comes to long-term investing and living within whatever your risk tolerance is. And by experience, people say they can tolerate risk until it happens to them. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. My name's Mark Cunaberdy. We'll be right back. To Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaberdy. I want to thank you for putting up with me today in this last hour as we shared our fall strategies in the 257th edition of Money Matters. Money Matters is about money, and that's what we talk about. Now, we do also investing in other things than money, investing in community, in your body, in your garden, in your house, in your family. So coming up, we've got some real nice investing in community interview shows about things that are happening around our community and in yours too. We did foster families, and we have a really interesting show coming up in October. It's a disability month, and we're talking about investing in the people that are disabled and providing employment. And there's a real an amazing organization that does that. So we'll stay tuned for that. And we have another special show coming up a couple of weeks in September and 2 weeks from now. You're going to love that show too. I'm not going to give you a hint yet, but you can see it at moneymanagementradio.com in about 3 or 4 days. We'll post it up there. So thank you very much. Remember, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. I am an investment advisor representative through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. The views expressed are my opinions only. They do not necessarily reflect those of Cambridge, this station, its staff members, or underwriters. My name's Mark. You can send me an email via the program director at whatever station you're hearing this at. Of course, all of you know that the carrying station for Money Matters is the incredible KVMR FM in Nevada City, California, and we are pleased to share it with you. Have a great day.